1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
Our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler at 920 Commercial, providing clients with peace of mind in the Emporia area for over 42 years. Call Pete at 342-6272.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's probably a little bit of a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, State Farm agent Pete Euler, right here in Emporia, can switch you over so you can start saving today. Pete and his team are ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. With Pete Euler, it's easy to switch and save. Just give him a call. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
KVOA News Times 824, Newsmaker 2 time here today. We're pleased to have in studio with us Emporia City Manager Trey Cocking.
Trey, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Trey.
Good morning, Chuck and Ron. How are you guys?
Doing good today.
Doing
Thanks for taking some time to join us. We appreciate that.
I'm glad to be here on this colder Wednesday, but you know, it's sunny, so we'll enjoy it.
We'll enjoy it. Well, there's a lot of different things that the city obviously is in you know, got its finger on and looking at potential improvements here and there. And one of the things that's been really kind of flowing under the radar for the last several months is the potential for skate park additions, skate park adjustments, or maybe even a new skate park altogether. And Trey, I know the City Commission discussed this, I think, to a degree last week and in your meeting slate. So what are we looking at here when it comes to the current situation with the Santa Fe skate park and what may be coming later?
Just a little bit of history because I always think that's helpful.
Yeah, I think it'd be good.
So the night I got hired, last October 21, the city received a $250,000 grant from the Emporia Community Foundation from a donor who, after seeing some publicity on the current state of the skateboard park, wanted to donate $250,000 to the project. So they presented the check October 21. City went to work, contacted a firm that had a contract bid through Sourcewell, started working on the project, and then about last March, April, we hit a little bit of a roadblock. So Santa Fe Park is a lease. The city does not actually own that park. That park is owned by BNSF Railroad. The city has a 99-year lease on that ground for ball fields. Okay. So we reached out to BNSF and said, hey, we have this lease. It's for ball fields. Can we modify the lease to do a skateboard park? The concern is the city had also voted to put in $250,000 from the Lake Cahola Fund, so to have $500,000 altogether for this project. So our concern was, if we go out and we violate the lease and they make us put, you know, take up $500,000 worth of newly installed skateboard park, that doesn't work for anybody. So we got a hold of BNSF. They said, yes, we're willing to modify the lease. However, what we're doing now is just annual leases, which goes back to the same point of us making that $500,000 investment. And then all of a sudden, it's an annual lease. So if BNSF needs that ground for some reason, they can tell us to take out the skateboard park, and they can tell us to take out the ball fields, too. So the lease is from the 60s. So, you know, the ball fields are very safe for another 40 years. So, you know, we didn't want to jeopardize the ball fields by expanding the skateboard park and changing the lease. So we brought the consultants in. We spent a day looking at pretty much every park in Emporia, looking at topography, looking at current programming, looking at, you know, do we have residents or close that would potentially be upset. So after we spent all day looking, the designer said that Whittier Park would be their preferred location. We started working with the Emporia Rec Commission to see what their programming needs are for Whittier in the future, and then to see if we can find a place at Whittier Park that works. So that's kind of where everybody was. So at the last meeting, we kind of put the plan forward. We definitely heard some concerns from commission that they want a full plan for development of Whittier Park. Park has kind of sat, is not as productive and not as fully programmed as other parks in the community. So how do we fully program that park? How do we utilize it? And is the skateboard park a good fit there? So now we are going into kind of the public outreach phase of this. You know, is the public okay with us moving the skateboard park to Whittier Park, especially knowing that the Santa Fe Park, the Santa Fe location is not a viable location at this point in time. You know, it makes a lot of sense from a planning stage and current use of that park to go to Whittier Park. But we do want to hear from the public. We want to get that feedback before that final decision is made to go towards the final design and construction.
So have you delved in with the company that's you've contacted and are working with on this project, what the total cost would entail? I mean, designs, have they been started?
We're hoping to be somewhere right around that $500,000. Okay. $500,000 number.
Now, in Santa Fe right now, there is a skateboard kind of facility there. That is not considered a skateboard park, though, correct?
I mean, it is a skateboard park. It was done. It potentially, you know, I don't think we looked very closely at the lease when this was done, in the early 2000s. It is there, that facility. We imagine it will remain for a while to see how it works with the new skateboard park. See if it's being still used, and then make a decision on that.
I have to ask here, Trey, you know, one of the things that comes into the picture, too, and I want to loop back more into kind of the early feedback that you're getting from the public or maybe some community partners on this is, I know that the Rec Commission also is looking at the possibility of making some significant adjustments when it comes to the softball and the baseball and the t-ball complex there at Whittier as well. How do these two ventures dovetail, or have those conversations started just yet?
Yeah, those conversations have started. The initial map was done with the future needs of the Emporia Rec Commission in mind, and we kind of did a layover to find the best place for the skateboard park, kind of with what the Emporia Rec Commission had envisioned. Not to tell Emporia Rec Commission's story, but they are, you know, they have a lot of deferred capital improvement needs, both in the fields and their facility. So I think they're trying to spend a little bit of time trying to figure out where they put their capital efforts and where they're going to spend their time over the next 5-10 years, and then how does that pair with Whittier Park. But we wanted to keep that site clear of – we didn't want to conflict with those Rec Commission programs that were in place.
Seems there's enough room out there in that park, though, to be able to put that.
It's a big park. It's an underutilized park, and I would love nothing more to have a really great program out there, something that's utilized by the public a lot more than it is. And I do think putting a brand-new skateboard park helps to do that. Obviously, we want to listen to feedback. Want to make sure there's nothing I'm not hearing, and concerns that get raised when we start moving in this direction.
What about the utilization of the current skateboard facility there in Santa Fe? Does that get much use? I don't get a chance to drive by there very much.
You know, I do think it is used. I think it is not quite the facility that today's skateboarders are looking for. Yeah. This new facility will have the amenities that they're looking for. That other park was kind of put in a tight space with the ball fields there, so. This new location will give you a lot more space. The designers did not feel like it was necessary to duplicate what had been over there. So kind of going to a white paper drawing, they were able to come up with a lot of features that the skateboarders have been asking for.
Speaking of that, and I'm asking you to kind of collect your memory here, but how would that new skate park be different from what we see at Santa Fe right now?
Yeah, I think they're longer. You're going to have longer run tracks. I am not a skateboarder, so for me to describe those elements, I could say it's going to have a great new hoop and shoop, and I'm making up stuff, quite frankly.
So you're no Tony Hawk then, right?
I am no Tony Hawk. I think my third grade skateboard career lasted about 2 days till I fell.
Understood. Now, we mentioned here about some of the feedback that you've gotten here about maybe building new over at Whittier. What are you hearing here from, say, community partners, maybe even some city staff or even the community here as this conversation really takes front and center publicly?
So far as we've rolled this out, nobody has told me no yet. Trey, it's a bad idea. But that's really why we're engaging the community, because, we kind of, as we go through this process, you kind of start with very small stakeholders. We did talk with Community Foundation, who's been in contact with the donors to make sure it works with them. And then we just kind of expand that to now we're at the public phase, and we want to have that public dialogue with folks. And like I said, there could easily be something we're missing. Lots of times I've been in public administration long enough to know that lots of times we go full charging into something, and then there's something that the public lets us know about that we missed. And then, you know, we either modify or move forward or have another conversation.
When do you hope to begin moving forward or hope to maybe have a decision made?
You know, I'm hoping that January is the month of feedback, and then hopefully have this on the commission's dais probably at one of the February meetings to make that final decision.
Emporia City Manager Trey Cocking with us here on KBOE's Newsmaker 2 segment. It is 8:34 sunshine and 28 degrees on our way to 39 before it is all said and done today. If we can move off the skateboard topic for just a moment, I know Chuck in the news department has been sharing information about the city sanitation department and maybe some delays in trash pickup. What is going on there, Trey?
Yeah, you know, we have absences. We're still short-staffed. We're seeing some improvement in some departments, but we are still short-staffed. So we've had to run some double routes. So typically, you know, we start our routes at 6 a.m. and, you know, run them through the day. But right now we're starting our routes at 6 a.m. and then routes that normally won't start at 6 a.m. are starting at, you know, 1 o'clock. To do those double routes. So we just have a lot of folks who are used to seeing their trash picked up by 9:30, and if it's not picked up by 9:30, they're calling us, asking us what's going on. So in this case, what we're saying is it may not be picked up till 4, so call us. You know, we're open out at the shop from 4 to 5. So if it's not picked up by 4, give us a call. And obviously, if we miss you and you don't get a hold of us today, call us tomorrow and we'll get it figured out.
Gotcha. Does this also affect Curbit, or is this strictly on the trash side?
Yeah, this is more on the trash side. Okay. You know, Curbit, it runs a little bit different cycle. You know, just because it is one operator doing the route all day.
Speaking of, and one other thing here, but which dovetails off of the staffing side of things, how are things looking here in other departments when it comes to your staffing? Are you still notably short just in general with illnesses on top, or are you pretty close to where you need to be when it comes to staffing getting through the holidays?
You know, getting through the holidays, I'm feeling much better about things. Police department, we're still down 3. We've made a lot of hires. We have a lot of officers who are in FTO or at the academy right now. So, you know, we're still running short staff till those folks get fully trained. Fire department, we're still down about 6 positions. So, you know, we're seeing some recovery. You know, in August, I was really concerned where we were headed in our trajectory. I'm starting to feel better about things right now, but I can't tell you we're fully staffed at this point.
Well, we cannot bring you in here, Trey, without bringing up the topic of the city logo is now in play. We did run a poll here, KVOE.com, that did have a significant contributions from the public, and overwhelmingly, it was, not preferred by those who participated in the poll. What have you been hearing on the city front on the newly unveiled city logo?
You know, I will say new logos are always challenging. This one in particular. You know, we went through the design process, had great local designers. They took some feedback and made some modifications. And, you know, we have this product at the end of the day that I think is a good product. I don't know, you know, it's obviously not a breathtaking product, but it is a good product. I'm very curious to see how it ages. You know, in a year from now, as it's not visually new, we do know that when you walk in and you see Pepsi has changed their can, people are, what's Pepsi doing? And then within a year, it's the Pepsi can. So, you know, I think that's really what we'll notice over the next year is how does it age? Do people get used to seeing it? Does it become the logo? You know, is everybody used to it at that point? You know, I will be very curious to see what your poll, if you guys do another poll in a year, if it is still in the 90s, or have we got up to the 20s or something like that with it?
Well, it was over 90. I mean, it was overwhelming. I mean, it's just something that's new, and it is a logo, but I guess the design and aspect of it, what it means, and the descriptions of the logo, you know, we put into the news stories here so people could kind of read and see what everything meant on the logo.
You know, and that's the one thing I do like about, I mean, that's one of the things I do like about the logo, is it is very much trying to tell our story, trying to grab those different elements, you know, from the Flint Hills to the rivers to the founding city of Veterans Day, trying to grab all those and tell the story with the logo. You know, like most things, a logo should be clear. I don't know that logos are always clear. You know, yes, we all know that the 13 stripes on the American flag stand for the 13 founding colonies, but we all got taught that in grade school. Yeah. I don't know that that would come to us naturally. You know, so I think over time, I think we will see, I think it will age better than people think.
Yeah, I guess, learning about it, I think, is a positive.
Yes.
People will get used to that, and once they know exactly what everything means, and it's something that obviously can be shared with people who ask, what is all this about, as far as the city logo goes?
Yeah.
The main concern, I think, that people had was the money spent in the design that the city used to get this done. Now, you did take bids for this, correct?
We did take bids. We opened it up. We had one local company respond. They were by far the cheapest at $4,000. I want to say, you know, we had one bid that was in the six figures and another bid around $75,000. So, you know, as we look at the totality of those bids and community branding, I want to say the city of Shawnee spent $225,000 on their rebranding process that they did. So, yes, $4,000 may seem like a lot, but it is comparatively cheap to what I've seen other places and what other proposals that were sent to us were.
Goodness, that's scary that it can cost that much for us. Really, for us, it's like a quartet of different iterations of the same general design.
And a number of people are saying, well, in some cases, get what you pay for, too. That's been brought up, too.
And I will, you know, I've been around. This is not the first logo I've seen. You know, they are always, nobody likes them at first. They do typically age well. It's a difficult process, and it's change. It's visual change. It is different than, you know, why did we go through this logo process? And I think that's probably something that's been missed, is we had the Emporia logo not unique to Emporia. In fact, it was lifted off the state of Kansas's Ad Astra campaign from the early 2000s. It wasn't something we could trademark, you know, and as we do more and more things, as we launch this new website, it is important that we have a unique identity, something that potentially can be trademarked. And, you know, especially in this day of Facebook spoofing, and, you know, we want folks to know when information does come from us that it is a legitimate source and it's not somebody trying to spoof us. Doesn't mean that somebody's not going to try, but it does mean that we have steps that we can take if somebody does try to spoof us and use our logo without our permission.
Well, and it can be changed.
It can be, yes.
You know, I mean, it's... Yeah, and totally set in stone.
And, you know, we did, at the end of the day, we adopted it administratively. One of those reasons that we went ahead and adopted it administratively versus having commission adopt it was that if it does need to be changed, if it does need to be modified, and I will take the star, you know, we got the feedback on the star, and that was immediately one of those things that I said, oh, let's flip a couple colors on it. I don't want us, the gold star has significant meaning. We don't want to put that out there. So that was something for us to easily fix, and because we adopted it administratively, we could just make that decision to fix it.
And Mr. Conking's referring to the Gold Star Mothers. I think you probably hear from veterans on this, I assume.
Yes, yeah. We were contacted. Folks were concerned about it, and in my mind, that was something we were unaware of. I don't think the designers were aware of, so we went ahead and made that change.
Okay. Trey, anything else you wanted to bring up here before we wrap things up here this morning and you actually get to start your official business here for the day?
Nope. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. You know, the city offices might be closed for Christmas, but police officers, firefighters, our water plant operators, our sewer plant operators will all be hard at work making sure that folks have the services that they need during the holidays. So
and hopefully we don't
we
have
appreciate
a
all them.
We hopefully don't have a repeat of the 4th of July on the water main side of things.
Yes.
Well, before you go, there's one positive I would like to bring up. Not that it's all been totally negative since you've been in here this morning, Trey, but I will say that I personally really think the downtown Christmas lights look terrific. And there's a little story behind that.
Yeah, this is a great job. They got hit last December by that windstorm that came through town. Casey Woods went through an effort. They went out. They shopped new decorations. Another place that it was over $250,000 to replace those decorations. So they went out to the original blacksmith down in Opie who did the project. And he said, yeah, I would rehab them. So they went through. They rehabbed them. They put LED lights on them. With the goal that we have a new 20 years worth of life out of these Christmas lights. I think they look terrific, and I think it's a testament of having local tradesmen do great work to benefit our community.
Outstanding. Hey, Trey, thanks much. Have a great time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Trey, as always, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, Trey Conking, Emporia City Manager, joining us on our Newsmaker 2 segment this morning. Brought to you by State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler at 920 Commercial. Pete Euler providing clients with peace of mind in the Emporia area for over 42 years. Call Pete to 342-6272 for a quote today. Good morning. It's 844.
Hi, this is Carrie with Carrie's Diamonds. And this holiday season, I wanted to share with you my favorite gift ideas to make this year the most special Christmas ever. Custom engraved and metal cutout jewelry is the perfect way to tell that someone special how much they're loved. We can engrave your handwriting or even a photo onto the perfect gift for your loved one. So stop in today and let's make the most special gift and have a very Carrie's Christmas. Carrie's Diamonds, located at 1015 Industrial Road across from the fairgrounds.
Are you in the market to purchase a new vehicle? Yes, we know things are changing and today